So you at all surprised that, you know, 25, 30 years after this thing started, that it's still going strong?
You know, honestly, that's probably one of the things that amazes me the most. We've been doing, you know, I've been doing actually a lot of, you know, press junk and stuff related to the new, you know, Turtles animated show, the awesome IDW comic I've been working on with the guys over there, and then some of the work I've been doing on the movie. But I think, you know, every time I sit down and it begin the discussion, it does amaze me that, you know, we're talking now almost 30 years, May 2014 would be 30 years, that these guys have been around. And it's, you know, I take it as a very serious, very high compliment from, you know, from all the fans that have supported it for now 30 years. It's crazy, man. It really is.
So what are your thoughts on the new show?
I, hands down, across the board, absolutely love the new show. Ciro Neely is kind of the main creative director, the executive, one of the executive producers, but really the driving force behind the show. As, you know, I don't want to take anything away from the awesome Nickelodeon folks, all the other awesome Nickelodeon folks that work on it, but Ciro is one of those guys that grew up as a fan of the original series, original comic books, dragged his mother to see all the movies when he was a kid. And so he's very passionate about making it kind of not only true to the original roots, meaning, you know, some of the way he discovered the first issue and you know, right to some of his, you know, favorite parts of the original cartoon series. And, you know, I mean, you walk around his office in the main creative office over at Nickelodeon, and there's, you know, all the original comic book covers from the Mirage series up on the wall. And you know, Ciro really draws from a lot of his favorite parts of, you know, I call it the multiple Turtle universes, because they really were, you know, if you think about it, the black and white universe, and then the Archie comics, and then the animated series, and then the movies. He kind of rolled up all of his favorite parts into this one new series. And, you know, to babble on even further, one of my favorite parts is that Nickelodeon spent a lot of money to do the animation first rate. I mean, the depth, the scenes, the action, the pacing, you know, the color, just a lot went into it. And I think, you know, their passion for the show shows as well. So I'm really proud of it. I love it.
So what about the IDW comic? It's got a lot of the old school look to it, even though, you know, obviously it's got a bit of a new school look to it as well. Do you kind of feel like, as an advisor, sometimes you want to get hands-on again, or do you really enjoy what they're doing with it?
Well, the two words that really sum up most of the IDW series is Tom Waltz. Tom Waltz, much like Ciro Neely, is kind of the head writer and the creative driving force on the series. He also grew up a fan of the original, you know, Turtle series. Not only the I think he discovered the animated show first and then realized it was comic book. So he brought all of his favorite Turtle-isms from all the Turtle universes to bear in the IDW series. What I think is fantastic about the IDW series is that Nickelodeon let us take it to those edgier places, like the original tone and tonality that the original black and white series had. And I kind of backed into it in a way that I really hadn't drawn a Turtle comic since 1996, when working with Simon Bisley. Was Body Count, I think, was the last hands-on physical Turtle book I did.
Mm-hmm.
But when my friend Ted Adams, one of the original founders of IDW, I've known Ted for 100 years, and when he had gotten the rights from Nickelodeon to do the series, he called and said, "Hey, would you be interested in doing a couple covers?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." And, you know, "Why, what do you guys got in mind for the creative?" And he said, "Well, why don't you," I was living in L.A. at the time, he said, "Well, why don't you come down and meet the guys and let them tell you what they have in mind." And I really flipped out, not only over Tom's ideas and what he wanted to do, Dan Duncan as the artist on the original 12 series, and they literally invited me to just do layouts, and then layouts led to covers led to, you know, I just finished a 60-page Turtle annual, the first serious Turtle project I've done in 25 years, really, or 20 years at least. And then we were already planning out, we spent the last probably 2 weeks planning out a good chunk of what we're going to do creatively, you know, for all of 2013. So it's incredible to be back. I love to say one of the coolest things about being back is it's reminded me how much I love comics, how much I love drawing comics, how much I love and miss drawing the Turtles. And it's been a pretty awesome welcome home, that's for sure.
So where do you think you'd be without the Ninja Turtles? What do you think you'd be doing if, like, a comic never panned out for you?
pushing a shopping cart probably comes to mind initially. No, seriously, I love to say that my inspiration, I can speak for Peter and I, I'm sure, Peter Laird and myself, mm-hmm. I'm sure by saying that we stand on the shoulders of giants, and that Jack Kirby was the guy that inspired me to pick up a pencil and the passion that he put into his work. My favorite Kirby comic is Commandy. And he inspired me to draw. He inspired me to be creative, and it's what I loved the most about reading comics when I was a kid. Discovering, you know, Richard Corbin's and Robert Crumb's and John Severin's, and then later Frank Miller's and Russ Heath's. You know, so many inspirations that we picked up along the way, and you rediscover Wally Wood. And you really realize and appreciate, this passion that was inside of me, and these guys have brought it out of me. And I think that whether the Turtles, which became the blessing that they were a reality or not, I'd be doing something in comics, because it was something I wanted to do my whole life. So, I just got extra lucky when I was younger. there was certainly more than more people out there with a lot more talent than I had doing, you know, cooler stuff. We just got lucky.
I've heard consistently online and read in a bunch of places, there's always this connection to Matt Murdock and Daredevil and the Ninja Turtles. Is there any truth to that? What's the connection, if any?
Oh, 100%, actually. I was a big fan of Daredevil from the earliest, you know, Bill Everett and Wally Wood and Gene Colan and Bob Brown and, you know, all the original guys that were doing Daredevil. And I remember when, you know, Roger McKenzie and, you know, who was a regular writer on the series, when this new penciler came on board in Daredevil 158 and just proceeded to the, you know, for the next, you know, 30 issues, blow everybody completely out of the water. You watch this guy emerge as not only, you know, a great, you know, a good storyteller to a great storyteller to, you know, just a fantastic craftsman of, you know, I think Frank Miller evolved out of the same passion for comics that, you know, Peter and I did, in the sense that we loved him and that's all we ever wanted to do. and me, it was the first issue of the Turtles was very much inspired by Dave Sim. And Dave Sim reminded a lot of us that, you got to self-publish, own your characters. And he had started with Cerebus in 76, I think, as doing it as a parody of Conan the Barbarian, with this little animal character, this aardvark, running around hacking people up, acting and drawn like Barry Smith was drawing Conan. And that was sort of the thing. I said, you know what, let's kind of do Turtles as a parody. Let's take our favorite bits. This is Peter and I talking. Let's take our favorite bits of what we like about comics. Let's kind of do a send-up on some of our favorite Daredevil-isms and Chris Claremont-isms and Frank Miller Ronin-isms and New Mutants, and we really rolled everything into one, including Cerebus as an animal character, Turtles as an animal character, and did this parody. So we actually created some of the origin based on some of, you know, loosely based on some of Matt Murdock's original origins story. Much like, you know, you look at so many things you could probably draw direct lines from New Mutants to X-Men to Avengers to blah, but yeah, it was definitely intentional, and the parody's there, and it was a lot of fun to do that back in the day.
Okay, considering that, I mean, Frank Miller really got Daredevil through a couple of lean years by stealing villains from from other series. If you could take a villain from any other series in comics and kind of implant them in the Turtle universe, who do you think you'd pick and why?
Man, you know, it is, you know, that was what he was so great. It's like, you know, when you read through the lines of what he was writing as this, you know, this superhero comic, but they were all these really intensive crime stories, you know, whether it be, you know, Kingpin as what he was, a Kingpin, and then his henchmen, from Bullseye to Elektra to Punisher and all that stuff. But I guess, you know, immediately I think either Punisher or, I put Bullseye first, Punisher second, again, directly from Daredevil, that I would pull in. But I have to tell you, you know, like, you know, the Foot that we have in the Turtles, the Foot Ninja Clan that we have, came directly from, you know, the Hand, that was, you know, Frank Miller's Ninja Clan that worked with Elektra, had an association with Elektra, was the Hand, remember?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so, yeah, so I'd say, you know, there's a love that Elektra in there, too, but... yeah, any character in Daredevil that Frank Miller did would be great to have in the Turtle story, so including Daredevil himself, which, you know, I'm sure will never happen in a billion years, but what fun.
The Michael Bay film reportedly shut down production in over the summer. Do you think that was the right thing to do? Did you see the script at all?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, what's funny is, you know, I guess you call it the Hollywood publicity machine is an interesting beast, and even, you know, bad press is good press. But I started working on the new Turtles film probably 3 years ago. The original John Fusco version, which was this awesome, awesome, awesome Batman Begins sort of retake on the first movie, really engaging and fantastic. And I think that, you know, but maybe a little too edgy for what Paramount wanted. And it went through a couple different versions. And when Michael Bay, Platinum Dunes took it over and brought in Jonathan Liebsman to direct, Jonathan Liebsman was going to make a great film. What I've seen of the script is actually fantastic. You know, Michael Bay has made some really intensive, great movies, big movies, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, being inspired by movies like The Avengers for scope and Roots Origins, and we're talking about Raid Redemption for things like fight scenes and, you know, Rise of the Apes as far as a computer quality style. So all the intentions are all in the right place, and I couldn't be happier to be part of it. I think it's going to be a fantastic movie. And the reason, you know, and it's funny because the reason from day one that Jonathan was hired, he said the first time I met him, he goes, but the production schedule is too short. I'll never get the effects and the fight scenes I want. they wanted Christmas 2013.
Yeah.
And so he immediately asked for more time. And what collectively everybody decided was 2014 May is the Turtles 30th anniversary. So why don't we push it to the anniversary date? So,
absolutely. Makes sense.
It does. You know, it's one of those things, but I love that they go, oh, it's the Turtles are aliens, and it's the end of everything, and all life as we know it, and it's awful, and I tell some of those fans to go watch some of the original cartoon series. We did some pretty silly stuff there, too. So, don't worry, the movie is going to be fantastic. I've seen behind the curtain, and I'm very happy.
Okay. What about Heavy Metal Magazine? How do you think that ties into your whole creative nature?
Heavy Metal Magazine is probably the reason I was inspired to create the Turtles. One of the reasons I was inspired to create the Turtles, which then own the Turtles, was then the success of the Turtles allowed me to buy Heavy Metal Magazine. And what I mean by that is, about the time I was getting kind of a little tired of what was going on in mainstream comics, I discovered Heavy Metal Magazine. I bought the first issue up the newsstand in 1977, and discovered guys like Richard Corbin and Ron Bodie, which led me to self-publishing, which led me to Dave Sim, and, you know, just sort of cobbled together, as well as, you know, I learned all about European comics and European artists, and, you know, basically that you could tell any kind of comic story you ever wanted to tell in comics. You just had to think it and you could do it. So it really inspired me and charged me, you know, pressed me forward to, you know, commit to doing it as a career. So with the success of that, I was additionally inspired by Heavy Metal, allowed me to create the Turtles, and when I had enough money from the success of the Turtles, I was able to buy Heavy Metal Magazine, and I've been running it. I can't believe I'm actually saying this. I've been running it for almost 20 years. I bought it in 1990. So, so to me, you know, the magazine, it's, you know, the entire Heavy Metal staff is four people counting me. We publish six times a year. We have a deal with, we signed a deal with Robert Rodriguez to produce a new Heavy Metal animated feature, which we've begun various stages of development on, and we'll go into full production next year. Heavy Metal, you know, is 35 years old this year, 77 to 2012, and I'm happy to have been its steward for the last 21 years. So it's a blast. It's a real passion project.
So the Turtles, I mean, really got a big jump, a big jolt by the whole Comic-Con experience. So, I mean, you're still doing them after all these years. So, I mean, how does that feel to, like, reach out to fans that have, like, been along for the entire ride?
That's probably my favorite part, hands down, and it's not just, you know, lip service. And that, you know, I've been doing the first San Diego Comic-Con is an example. The first Comic-Con I went to was in 1985, and Peter and I, you know, grew up, and when we launched the Turtles back in 84, we did, you know, Great Eastern conventions. We did show signings up and down the East Coast, promoting it in the earliest days. I think one of the first bigger conventions we did. It was Atlanta. It was before it was Dragon Con. It was something else, like CuritaCon or something. But then, you know, we did the Dallas Fantasy Fair and the Chicago Con. And we've done it for years. And what amazes me, almost like, you know, where we started this conversation, is that, you know, here we are almost 30 years later, and there's still a line of people waiting to get my autograph. And to me, that's epic. It's huge, and it's sort of like, you know, I go, don't you guys have anything better to do? No, I thank, you know, these fans have given me the greatest job in the universe, and I'm lucky to, you know, say that I do what I want to do and what I'm passionate about and what I love the most, and I couldn't do it without fans, without people buying the stuff I do. So it's, you know, you pull that back to, you know, coming to New Orleans this weekend and having the IDW coming out there, that the fans buying again in droves, you know, and that's not, you know, I think it's not so much newer fans. I think it's old fans coming back to the series and re-engaging and enjoying it once again because they like what they're seeing, and that again is, you know, tells me we're doing something right, and it makes me happy, and that's pretty awesome to say that.
So, last question from me. Considering, you know, the ride you and Peter had, it wasn't always easy in the beginning. It was especially hard in the beginning, but you guys continue to, you know, work on your craft and get better until, you know, you finally got your chance. Considering that, what would you say to any young comic book writer that's trying to, like, break through that hasn't had that opportunity yet? What would you tell them to keep them going?
I think that at the end of the day, it really is, it's all about passion. When we got lucky, and I do stress that I feel there was a great deal of luck involved, that we were kind of at the right time, the right place, but the focus that was always the same for Peter and myself is that, you know, from very young age, we wanted to write and draw comic stories, you know, and whether it was, you know, mini comics that we were giving to our friends, just, you know, to whatever we could do to get out there and try to find work. I mean, that's where we formed Mirage Studios initially, was to try to team up together and try to get work. We were lucky back then that there was something like the direct market where you could self-publish and you could, you know, make a go of it for relatively little money and get exposure. And if people liked what you did, then you could do a second issue or a third issue. And I think, you know, comparatively, you know, here we are 30 years later, and I think the closest thing we have to that is the internet, in that, you know, you can self-publish through DeviantArt and conceptart.org and some of these other great sites. You can self-publish, you know, your creation, your idea for relatively no money. And you can be out there and meet like minds from around the world and be inspired and inspire each other and make connections. Maybe you're a good writer, but you can't draw as well as you'd like to. You might find a team up with a writer or a painter or an artist to you know, help you build your ideas and build your audience. And that's really it. If you build something that the fans will like, they'll let you know. If they can find it, they'll let you know. They'll read it. If you can make a living from it, then, you know, hallelujah. You know, and I think we approached it, you know, the same way the comic market, the direct comic market, gave us a leg up. So I would tell people, you know, stay true to your vision, you know, stay true to your ideas. If you want to stories in a, you know, combination of words and pictures or comic books, you know, stick with it. I mean, you'll express yourself and you'll either make it or, keep trying. You never know. We just got lucky, and but we love what we do, and that's I think that's the most important.